This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it is Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you're having a good morning, a beautiful week. I can't believe it's already. It's one of these weeks where on Tuesday I thought it was Friday, and yet it's Thursday.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with this week. It's long and short all at the same time. It's Thursday, which means tonight is Hawks Live over Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar. You can join host Dave Wyman for Hawks Live this and every Thursday at Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar in Bellevue. Preview of this week's game, an in-person player interview. Don't know who that'll be yet, but Hawks Live is brought to you by Heritage Distillings, Batch Number 12 Vodka, Legendary Donuts, and Pearl Seafood and Oyster Bar. I am hoping to have a Legendary Donut tomorrow morning. I'm hoping that there's a few extras.
Nice.
So don't go tonight, okay? Don't go. Don't go to Pearl. Make sure there are leftover Legendary Donuts, because I'm interested in eating one tomorrow morning. Or do go and eat them, and I'll be perfectly happy to be disappointed. All right, we got the phone lines open here, Brock. 206-421-3776.
No, they're not. They're totally full. They're just jacked.
Yeah, the 8 o'clock, all of a sudden, the Thursday 8 o'clock people are trying to compete with the Friday at 9 people. It's a mess. What's on your mind? We are open to anything. We'll start with Justin, who's in Puyallup. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Oh, doing so well. How's P-Town?
Oh, it's great, dude. I'm going by the Brock Hewart statue right now.
Nice. Right on, buddy. Wave at it. Okay, bring it. Let's go.
I got a couple questions, if I can. First question is, how come we don't run a dual running back set with Rashad Penny and Chris Carson?
Yes, Brock, why don't
okay,
we?
Hold on. I wrote that down. Give me your other question. You got another good one?
Yeah, are we ever going to see Mr. Dixon do a drop kick field goal?
Okay, awesome.
I'm excited for that.
All right.
Hey, those are two great, great questions.
Was there more, or was it just those two?
I have a million questions, but I don't want to jack up the phone line.
And when is Frank Clark going to play tight end? Appreciate the phone call, man. All right, Brock, answer those two questions for us, please.
I hope we see dual threat here pretty soon with both of those running backs. Most groups call that pony. Did I understand that Jake was living in zebra yesterday?
There was a lot of zebra conversation.
A lot of zebra conversation.
Zebra this, zebra that. I know. Zebra.
Going on and on. Just droning about zebras. Yes.
Well, you know what two tight end package is, right? When you get two tight ends, what's that package personnel-wise? So I've taught you this. Two tight ends is?
21.
Tiger. Three wide receivers, one back is zebra. Two running backs is pony.
That's not what he was saying. Jake was using zebra to talk about the Z receiver.
Oh, was he really?
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Dude, he wasn't
otherwise
using
known
your
as the flanker.
Right. He wasn't talking about your silly, like, West Coast scheme. He actually had real terms.
Oh, did he really?
It wasn't like the little cutesy West Coast system.
You're not going to drive a wedge in me, and he's just not going to do it. Two Pacific Northwest nice guys. Just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
But are you both as nice as you say?
Huh?
But are you both? I mean, you're both.
Yes, they are.
So.
You're both doing videos up at 710sports.com. Maybe one's better than the other. I don't know. Maybe one
Get
of them.
Their
has,
names out your mouth.
Maybe Thank one you. Of them has better Thanks, production value. I don't know. I mean, you guys got to go to 710sports.com.
And you all be
watch
the judge.
Them both. Watch Dave Wyman's while you're there, and you decide which one's
watch
doing
them
the
both.
Best
rate them
videos.
A 10
That's
as they
right.
both are.
Hey, John, I'll tell you this. Yes, I would like to see Penny
Everything
on the field.
Can't be a 10.
I would like to see Penny a little bit more explosive, and you know, there's no excuse for it right now. You know, his broken finger did not and should not have impacted his legs and his explosion and his speed. Not uncommon for rookies to have to elevate their game to the speed of this level. I think there was some concern with some draft guys saying, yeah, you know, 10 games a year against the Mountain West, anybody can look pretty darn good and explosive. You know, you put the Stanford game on, though, last year. I got to see more burst.
Yeah.
And I think that the crew and the club does as well before you see more of those two that pony package come into life.
And I'm sure the drop kick will be coming any day. 206-421-3776. You got a drop kick kickoff. I don't know what else you need. Dan's in Woodinville. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. We didn't get to see the drop kick kickoff because we saw a commercial.
All right, well, we saw the replay of the drop kick kickoff.
And was it? Come on
now. All right, sorry. All right, Dan, you're right.
Hey, so just I love the discussion yesterday about how Pete Carroll's discipline may or may not be appropriate with Earl Thomas. And listening to Jim Moore and some other people talk about it, they feel like he's not living up to always compete. But I feel like if you're optimistic like Pete, there's actually a really cool thing going on here, which is you're getting your best player out on the field. You're not paying him. He's in a contract year. And Pete gets to walk out on that practice field every day and look at Tedrick Thompson and say, this job is yours. You just got to play up to his level. He's lowering the ceiling for you. And so you're going to get the most out of both players, and you're getting all of those reps for Tedrick Thompson, putting it all actually on the compete motto. And he gets to make Earl Thomas the one that's giving the opportunity away.
Yeah, the only challenge, I love a lot of that, Dan, and I was screaming yesterday listening, and I have really all week, listening to different opinions of everybody, and I heard Danny say yesterday, this makes Pete really strong. You know, it really shows the strength of character to allow this and still empower this. I guess my question to you, Dan, though, is ultimately when the next Earl comes around, and there will be, you know, we'll see if Pete's here in the cycle of it all in 2 or 3 years, or when that next guy wants his. I know you want yours, but it's not about you. It's got to be about this club and this culture. You know, that to me is, it's not necessarily even precedent. Like, oh, this precedent was set. It is just, you're enabling that behavior. You are allowing and enabling that behavior your building.
There are consequences for it.
Sure. And we'll see how severe those consequences. And I'll tell you what, I disagree with John Clayton.
I do too.
I would suspend him, or I'd fine him $500,000 a week. Okay? If you're going to put any teeth in these consequences, then I would, and you have the opportunity, you know, by the CBA to fine him up to 1/4 of his money for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have collected on every single one of those fines in the preseason.
Look, this is hard for me, Brock. It really is. As I think you know, like, I'm like you. I'm wired, and I think practice is important. And we had good texts yesterday saying, Salk, how could you even speak this way after how mad you get about
voluntary
workouts and all that? Absolutely. I don't want guys who don't want to practice. I want guys who do. That's not the situation Pete's in right now. This is not the offseason. This isn't the planning portion of the season. This is the season. He's in the middle of trying to win games. I think it's easier in many ways to do what all of us kind of are claiming, which is go fire, you know, get rid of him. Sit him, bench him, whatever it is. Like, it's easy to go straight to punishment. It's harder to do what Pete's doing. And in that way, I think there is a level of strength and character mm-hmm. that comes through this, because it is harder to do this. It does go against conventional norm. He is the only coach of the 32 in football, and maybe however many more in college football, that would handle this situation this way.
Yeah.
But that's how Pete sees it.
It is.
And he's different from
maybe other people see this differently than I do.
And he sees this as a misdemeanor and not a felony. Or at the very least, he sees it as something that's going to carry a misdemeanor punishment.
I'm trying to be consistent through all of this. I'm trying to have a pretty consistent opinion. And I've had a pretty consistent opinion, I think, for 5 years, that this whole culture started to deteriorate when the best player didn't get on the bus. When the best player in the most intimidating guy said, I'm not getting on that bus, and I ain't playing. And I really believe that once that started to happen,
Marshawn Lynch,
yes, it started to empower so much of this other stuff. So now the trade-off is, okay, we'll deal with this for this season with Earl, and then we'll have to just stay young. Mm. You know, maybe this further empowers our belief that all we could do is really get guys on their first 4 years and to stay as young and turn it over and turn it over.
You could get two contracts out of them, but you're probably not going to get a third.
Yep.
I mean, I think that they've learned some of that lesson, and then all the third contracts went awry.
Yes.
And by the way, I don't see any chance KJ Wright's getting his. Not after having the knee injury and then having a setback or whatever has happened so far. We're heading into week 4 and there's no KJ even on the horizon. Yeah, I think it's going to be a very unique player who gets a third contract here in Seattle from this organization moving forward. 206-421-3776. Open lines on any subject. Mark's in Sammamish. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great, Marky. Mark, how you doing?
I am blessed and highly favored, sir.
Nice. Too blessed to be stressed. So what are you talking about around the water coolers? What you got?
Here's what I've got. I'm looking at the Seahawks season. I'm trying to have a little bit of long-term vision about the Seahawks. I'm looking at the rest of the competitors in the NFC, and I'm wondering what you guys think as opposed to how we're going to end up at the end of the year. Because we're progressively getting better on the O-line. We're making subtle changes. The play calling is evolving. Russell is seemingly settling down a little bit. And frankly, although our defense, there are some high points, there are also some possibly questionable points. I was watching some of the highlights from our competitors in our division, and I'll tell you what, I think the competition is fairly stiff. What's your take?
You do? From Arizona or San Francisco?
I'm speaking of the NFC in general.
Oh, all right.
As in the Rams.
Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, Tampa.
I guess I look at the division and say San Francisco already wasn't great, and they just lost their quarterback, and they have nobody else.
Yep.
The Cardinals are 0-3, and they're about to start a kid who doesn't seem like he's going to be much for dealing with controversy. The Rams, obviously, are a really good football team. Okay, you put that one aside. And other than that, there's not a single other 3-0 team in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Who's dominant? The Eagles have not looked nearly the same this year. We'll see what they look like, but they seem to have some of that Super Bowl hangover.
It is just amazing.
The Vikings are supposed to be a dominant team. They're 2-1 and got blasted by the Bills, and we'll see how they handle it.
They're 1-1-1.
That's right. They're 1-1-1 and could very easily be 1-2-1 after playing the Rams on a short week tonight. The Packers haven't looked the same, and Aaron Rodgers is clearly hurt, and there's not much on that roster besides them. All right, New Orleans is pretty good, and Atlanta's pretty good. Does anyone think Tampa's going to keep something going the entire year? They're only 2-1 and got beat by a Pittsburgh team that is going through trauma right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know that the NFC is as good as it's supposed to be.
And yet you were 0-2. Okay, you were 0-2, and had you gone 0-3 to Dallas, then what conversation are you having?
You're probably talking about the world ending.
And instead, you controlled
that
game. That's
still internal, Brock. I mean, like, if they had lost to Dallas, I think that conversation is about these guys all just quit now and say, all right, this thing's over. Let's pack up and go home. But that didn't happen, and now all of a sudden you start moving forward.
It is the magnitude of this game every single weekend.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. It's getting closer, much closer to college football, where they say in college football, every week matters. Well, you know what? In the NFL, it's getting pretty darn close to that. For your own team psychology, certainly for your injury report, you know, week in and week out, and the impact that has on people's emotions and feelings. I'll just say this, Mark, to answer your question. If this team gets better and takes legitimate steps of development, and it's a developmental program, if this whole group takes developmental steps this season with Chris Carson and your young people and your young linemen and your young tight ends and your young second, if it is a developmental program and they take steps, there is more than enough wins on this schedule to be relevant in December.
206-421-3776. Let's keep running through these calls. Let's grab who's been hanging on, Dave in Tacoma. Good morning, Dave. Quickly.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I was watching the Monday night game, and I'm watching one of the best stiff arms to the face. Just wondering why they don't call offensive hands to the face on a stiff arm.
Yeah, that rule's been in place a long time, Dave. Now, what you can't do offensively is grab the face mask. So if you would have seen the tight end grab the face mask and yank, then you're going to get a call. Mm. If you go open palm like that and you just say, in your face,
but
with
you can
your
only
hand,
do it when you have the ball, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's illegal.
It is hands to the
it
face.
Is weird that there's an exception made for that.
Yes. Because in some ways, that should expose you as a runner. Like, if you're sticking your arm out, you're thinking that should, A, slow you down, expose more.
What quarterback did I see running have a nasty stiff arm last week? I forget who it was.
Oh, interesting.
There was some quarterback who just completely got, like, it might have been Josh Allen. I don't know. I was watching a lot of games, but I think it was Josh Allen who just had a straight stiff arm on some defensive player and just knocked him to the ground.
And
see
that
you
poor
later.
Defender now, A, on IR, Conte, and B, has the worst gif out there. Like, that's now in the social media world going to live forever. Like, in your face.
Yeah, you don't want that. 206-421-3776. Open lines on any subject. We had a lot of Seahawks calls, a lot of Earl calls. If you do want to talk Huskies or Tiger or golf, Ryder Cup, Mariners, we do have a Mariners call here we'll get to in a moment. We're open for business.
Or golf or Ryder Cup or maybe Tiger or golf.
What
or
do you want to talk about, Mike? Next, take a call. Never mind. Go.
When we get our next Husky call, Brock, that will be the first.
Ooh, okay.
206-421-3776. Grab Jason, who's in Mukilteo. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, you're not going to drive a wedge between you and I either, Salk, okay? It ain't going to happen.
Oh, that'll be on Lydia. No. She's the one who's about to get it. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, so I want to know if Brock thinks he would have lasted longer in the NFL with all these new rules protecting the quarterback.
Oh, interesting. So you mean like John Mobley when he lifted me 15 feet in the air?
No, he wouldn't have. The problem was between Brock's ears. It had nothing to do with his physical issues or getting hurt. It had everything to do with what was going on between his ears and the horrible coaching he received from Mike Holman.
Well, that's all of that's patently untrue there. Well, maybe not the first part. Most of my issue was from the neck up.
He had the wrong
Jason.
Coach for
Stop.
Him. Mike Holman was not the right guy for Brock Heward and his personality.
Not true. Not an excuse maker. It was still on me.
Wait, you're not making excuses. Thoughts. I'm telling people what went wrong with your career that I didn't follow and never paid attention to.
I'll say
to.
This, Jason. Let me tell you very clearly. The NFL wants to ruin their game. They're in charge of it. And if they continue down this ridiculous path that they're on, that you can't hit a position, you're going to ruin the integrity of the game. I don't know if I would have liked to. I don't want to be in a position where I'm going to flop back there, where I'm going to look for penalties, where I've got to act like, oh, I just got hit in the head. Oh, you just buried me and make no. I don't want to be in soccer. I don't want to be a flopper. I don't want to try to get penalties that way. It's quarterback. And the quarterback needs to learn how to. One of the most important skills he has, and I didn't develop it, is your ability to protect yourself. Protect yourself. I watched Peyton Manning play games in a brutal, rugged NFL 15 years ago where he didn't get hit because he could protect himself and get the ball out, change his protections,
yeah,
and play in that level.
Yeah, but a lot has changed since then, man. First of all, the NFL owners realize that the game is all – they've made the game more and more about the quarterback, right? Everything has become about the passing game, the quarterback, what you can do on the outside. And because of it, the value of that quarterback has skyrocketed even since Peyton Manning and the time you're talking about. So that's one. Number two, the defensive ends have gotten better. I mean, just over time, they're more physical, they're faster, they have more moves, and the offensive linemen haven't been able to compete with them the same way. They haven't grown the same way the interior defensive pass rushers and the guys on the outside have either. And so pass rushes have gotten better and better and better and better. Blitzes have gotten more and more complex. The game has become easier to play from those positions, and at the same time, the offensive lines haven't gotten better. So the NFL owners look at it and say, we need to protect our most valuable resource on all 32 teams, mm-hmm. and that's the quarterback, and that means stop hitting them. They don't care that it's hard. They don't care that it's hard for these defensive players and that they feel like they need to go out and just lay the quarterback to rest on a pillow. Mm-hmm. I get it. I love watching Lawrence Taylor demolish quarterbacks or Bruce Smith or Charles Haley or any number of guys. That's like my favorite type of thing. But the NFL's done with that.
Then you've got irrational fears, and you got a few things.
You're done with that.
You've got irrational fears because there will be more quarterbacks. There will be a Baker Mayfield coming out of Texas, walking on at Texas Tech, can't play there, or they don't think he can play, and then he'll walk on at Oklahoma, and he'll win a Heisman, and he can change a program. And there will be a Sam Darnold.
Yeah, tell that to the Bears. Tell that to the Dolphins. Tell that to these teams that have been looking for quarterbacks. Tell that to the Browns. Tell that to these teams that have been looking for quarterbacks for 30 years.
The other thing is this is a league, much like baseball, of adjustments. You tell me we can't run the ball, and I don't know. A Jacksonville team was right on the precipice of getting to a Super Bowl last year with horrific quarterback play, mm-hmm. including in a playoff game where he couldn't even complete a pass.
But the NFL doesn't want that. They like the passing game because that's what sells. That's what's where the ratings are at. This is what they want. Look, I know that you guys are mad at me for my take, but it's okay. The NFL wants this. They want it. It's okay that for them, in their belief, it's okay that it's hard to hit the quarterback now.
I think eventually
they don't want you to.
Eventually, the football people in Park Avenue, okay, are going to say to Roger Goodell, who has to say to the rest of his owners, okay, if we ruin the very integrity of this game,
you think it's ruined?
I'm just saying over time.
But
here,
like, how has it been ruined?
It's the first 3 weeks. It's a bit laughable. It feels laughable
really?
Right now. Yeah, it feels laughable.
There have
been. To me.
What did we say? There's been 30 of these penalties.
Yes. And when Bobby Wagner gets one.
Won a game?
When Bobby Wagner hits Josh Rosen Sunday on a clean blitz and just absolutely lights him up and puts his helmet right in his chest and drives him
in
the ground.
They don't want you to do that.
Yeah, well.
You can't put your helmet in
your
chest.
You can't stop 255 pounds of inertia running. You can't do it.
Well, then you need to slow down.
You know, hit the guy like I normally hit the guy. Make sure I'm not hitting him in the head. I'm making sure it's a good tackle, a tackle that I would make on any other person. And, you know, if they call something, they call something. I'll deal with it then. You know, I haven't got called for it. So when it happens to me, if it happens to me, hopefully it doesn't, that's when I'll think about it.
See, the one area I will give you some props, or I would agree with you, because I'm one that loves to find common ground. I like to find solutions. Okay, that's what I am.
Uh-huh. You're a solution guy.
I'm a solution guy. I will give credence to your point of this is irrational. Y'all are being irrational. Right? There's pitchforks everywhere, all around the country. Every talk radio show is just being irrational on that side of it, okay, because of just the pure numbers of it. But much like the transfer rule in baseball, you just looked at it and said, that's not right. Okay, I'm sorry, that's not the right rule. Like, eventually, common sense, it just isn't right.
Yeah, and they got that wrong.
And they changed it. Mm-hmm. And I think they're so far on one end of it right now that eventually they're going to look at it.
They may end up changing it just because of the amount of noise that it's getting from everybody.
But just because it's just to your eye, it just doesn't make sense. That's a totally, Clay Matthews' three penalties have been totally clean hits. None of them have been dirty.
Yeah.
None of them had any
You
intent.
Have to change some of your view of what is a clean hit, because the NFL's telling you that's not one anymore.
Yeah. They're Major League Baseball that. Tried to tell you that the transfer rule was going to be
but
changed
that was,
to
But
this.
There was no purpose to that. I mean, the purpose here is to protect quarterbacks, and it's a health and safety thing. There was no purpose to the transfer rule. They just screwed it up, and then they changed it.
Yep.
That's more equivalent to what the NFL did in changing what is a catch.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I had just finally figured it out, and they went back to the old rules. This is about their health and safety, and I think they just see it differently. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Angel, who is in Seattle. Good morning.
Hey, so I'm saying that you guys should franchise tag Earl Thomas.
Well, they can't do that until the offseason.
I know, but I'm just saying, when the season comes to the end, like, just franchise tag him. Like, don't care about his feelings. Let him pout. Let him cry about it. He's going to play regardless. He has to play at least, I think it's 6 or 7 games, right?
Right.
Accumulate towards the.
So then, Angel, you want to just deal with all of this nonsense again? He's not going to be at OTAs. He's not going to practice. He's not going to show up.
It's NFL.
What's that?
It's NFL. It happens all the time.
It happens all the time? Or it just happens in Pittsburgh, and it's to the demise of their whole culture and program right now with Le'Veon Bell. It happens all the time in the NFL?
I mean, like, we move on from players. That's my point.
That's my point. Angel, that's my point. Move on from him. He cannot be that irreplaceable. Mm. Earl Thomas is good.
I know, but at $9 million next year is a pretty good value. I mean, honestly, if you want to sign him up for one more year in the franchise tag and remind him, sorry, dude, you're under our control. Like that's
Bradley McDougal's first three games are better than Cam Chancellor's first three games last year, or probably the year before. And I know the year before that when he held out twice. Mm. Bradley McDougal just played phenomenal football. Shaquille Griffin's first three games of this season, you could put right on par with Richard Sherman's first three games last year and the year before that and the year before that. You're not irreplaceable. And especially if there is hunger and a want to and a desire and they've got the physical skills, that's what your developmental program's about.
Yeah.
You've got to grow up the next guy and not just live on this guy that you think is irreplaceable because on some Sundays, he's played some good ball. It's a lot more than just Sundays.
Whew, look at these text messages. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You want to hear some good, mad text messages?
Sure.
We'll do a few of those next, plus more of your open phone line calls, 206-421-3776. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Salk, if the NFL made a rule that you just have to levitate while rushing the quarterback, would you say the players needed to adjust to that? Everyone hates it, but guess what? Salk don't. Salk, you're the biggest idiot in the world. The integrity of the NFL has totally changed, and if it continues, you'll be out of a job. Good luck. Salk, talking about quarterbacks, is like the mom that demands all kids get a trophy just for being there.
Everybody likes it, but guess what? Mike Salk does.
Football's a physical sport. Take that away and the fun is gone. I can't listen to a guy who thinks these good new rules are good for anyone. Worst take ever. Look, I'm sorry you guys are whining and I'm not. I feel bad for all of you and your incessant whining about the rules. But guess what? I've been hearing this for 5 years. Take the physicality out and there'll be no more football. There's no more physicality in the game and no one's going to watch. Football can't possibly survive without all the physicality and the nasty hits. When they come over the middle and the safety's not allowed to hit that guy square in the head, I will never watch football again. And guess what? Every year, everybody watches football. So I'm done. I'm done pretending that any of these things are going to be the death of football. They may end up changing this rule back. Mm-hmm. They may end up deciding to roll it back and making life harder on quarterbacks again. But I would be surprised because ultimately, you're still going to watch. There's still been plenty of sacks in the NFL that haven't been flagged. Yep. There have only been 30, so that's less than one per game. Mm-hmm. This has not been like, I mean, I think there's a mountain being made of a molehill here because there have been a couple of calls that were iffy. Two of them happened to be on Clay Matthews.
Yeah, you know,
I've been called a wet blanket most of my life. It's never bothered me. I'm being the opposite of the wet blanket here. I'm the only one who's happy and positive about the world, and the rest of you are all a bunch of whiners.
You know what the NFL has done? You realize what they evaluated in the preseason and said, nope. Not going to do it. Not going to call these stupid helmet calls because this is unrealistic for us to do. Remember that irrational fear in the offseason? Oh, my gosh, how can you? Well, the NFL looked at it and used actual common sense. And I would really hope when it comes to the quarterback, this is a little bit like, Earl, you think they're irreplaceable. They're not irreplaceable. The game has shown that through the decades and through the years. And yes, Mike, there have been some horrible organizations whose GMs and head coaches and owners have turned over and made terrible judgments at that position, and it's ruined them for many, many years.
The owners are going to invest in quarterbacks, and they don't want that investment being risked any more than it needs to be. It's just that simple.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo tore out his knee.
I'm not saying you can't hurt yourself another way.
And you will. And you ultimately will.
And if there was a way for them to make sure that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't twist his knee that way, they would do that too. And
you probably will end up getting more low hits, which will probably end more.
And if there's a way for Clay Matthews to actually hit and then not hit simultaneously,
How all of these other people have been able to sack quarterbacks without getting flags. Like, there is obviously a way to do it.
I mean, there's still 30 in three games, right? I mean, there's just that is still a pretty inordinate amount of penalties.
Yeah, it's more.
Yes, it's a lot more.
Like, it's not like there have been zero sacks and 30 penalties.
Sure.
There have been like 150 sacks
and
30
every
penalties.
Every single time those defensive players watch it. Watch them. Good. Watch the five sacks.
That's what the NFL wants.
Watch even last week. Every one of those sacks, those defensive players are looking back going, could I do that?
And that's exactly what the NFL wants. They want them nervous. They want them being extra careful every time they touch the quarterback. If the NFL could, they'd put a red jersey on the quarterback and just say, go ahead, don't touch him. Yep. 206-421-3776. I'm not saying I prefer it this way. I don't. Yep. I like watching Lawrence Taylor destroy the quarterback. But the NFL's not going in that direction, guys. I'm sorry. Adam is in Seattle. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to get your guys' take on Rashad Penny through these three games. He hasn't really had that game yet where you say, wow, this is why the Hawks took him in the first round.
Yep.
How should Hawks fan feel about Penny so far? And
Yeah, I think, Adam, disappointed. You know, I think you should feel, but it's unbelievably early. It's three games into his rookie year. But if you were to say right now, I'm a little disappointed. And I would probably also put him back on kickoff return and further expose it. Like, if you don't want to take unbelievable care of yourself and be fast and quick and explosive and understand what it takes here, and you're just liking the millions of dollars that you got as a first-round pick, let's go.
It's not just that we haven't seen him have that game. We haven't seen him have that carry.
Yeah.
He hasn't had one run.
In the preseason, he had one run that kind of wowed you.
He had one cut. Yeah, it was a little six-yard run that was like, okay, that was a nice cut.
Yep, exactly. But there's got to be a lot more in the tank.
Yeah, I would hope so, man. I mean, look, I was pretty excited when they drafted the kid based on what we'd seen in college, and I sure hope that some of that is in there. On the other hand, Alex Collins looked like total garbage here for 2 years. He went to Baltimore, and now he's one of the best running backs in the league. So, you know, there does seem to be a little bit of something wrong with trying to be a running back here in Seattle.
Did you say there was a Mariners call?
I did, yes. I got Mike, 206-421-3776. Mike's in Edmonds. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Oh, I had to hear your voice.
Well, Salk is all spun up, so I thought I'd calm him down by talking about the Mariners.
Okay. That'll work. That's a perfect thing to do.
Great.
I've been very worried. I'm going to miss your Mariners talk.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 8, Mike. Tomorrow at 8.
I think tomorrow at 8. I think maybe we'll talk about the Mariners tomorrow at 8. That seems to be the time.
All right.
You want to set an alarm for it now?
Put it on the calendar, Mike. Put it on board.
What do you want to do, Mike? We'll open up the lines on it tomorrow, but what do you want to do? What do you want them to do now?
I think the key question is, what would we like to see done versus what do you think will happen?
Well, no, what do you want to see done?
Oh, I want to see Felix gone.
Yeah.
I want to see Seager gone. I want to see Paxton gone, and I want to see Segura gone. I want to see DePoto look ahead like he talks about and actually make a plan B. An intelligent plan B for the pitching staff. Mm. He didn't have one this year, and that bothered me a lot.
How about Haniger and Diaz?
I think he's smarter than that. Oh, you got to keep them. I really enjoy both those guys. I don't see.
But if you're trading a lot of the guys you just said, you think you're going to compete next year?
No.
How about the year after that?
One of the questions I wanted to ask you guys is, with the Major League Baseball bargaining agreement, the Mariners are hamstrung. How would it be if he had the NFL bargaining agreement? You need that for 1 year.
But they don't. Hold on, Mike. Let's come back to reality. If you don't think they're going to be good next year and you want them to trade a few of those guys, and they're probably, in that case, not going to be good the year after that, why do you need to keep Diaz and Haniger?
Oh, you're right.
Because it's hard to trade them, right?
It'd be hard.
Because it hurts. Because they're good. Yeah. But is their value ever going to be better than it is right now?
Nope. You're selling them high.
I mean, look, man, I know it stinks, and this is going to be a big part of it tomorrow. I'm giving away all my trade secrets. But
great to hear from you.
But look, this stinks. It stinks. It's a bad spot to be in. And you know what you have to do to get out of a bad spot? Things you don't want to do. Mm. Because you're in a bad spot. You got yourself into a position you don't want to be in.
In between?
I guess. I mean,
like, you're in between. You're at 86 wins. You're not one of these terrible teams that just shut it down this year and is selling for the future.
Yeah, but you have been since June. You've been a terrible team since June. I don't know how else to say it, man. Since June, you've been a terrible team.
7 games
July, August, September have been terrible.
8 games under 500.
For 3 months this year, really 3.5, you've been a terrible team. You haven't been Baltimore bad, but you've been bad. Let's face it. You've been Texas bad. Maybe not Baltimore or Kansas City epically awful, but you've been a bad team for 3.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 months, you've been a bad team. And during the month or 2 months that you were a really good team, you were winning every game by one run, and most national people didn't buy it. You're a bad team. You're not in between. You're a bad team. I think it's pretty simple. You're a bad one. You're not a good one. You're not a mediocre one. You're not in between. You're a bad team. And once you've gotten yourself into that spot, you got to make a decision.
Yep.
What are you going to do? And that means some really hard choices are ahead.
You have to honestly.
You got
to
do something you don't want
to
do.
With no history and no precedent and no emotion, you have to honestly, I think case by case, look at it and say, why were we a bad team? Why? What role did Kyle Seager play in that? What role did D. Gordon play in that? Mm. What role? And I don't care about my ego. Okay, I don't care that I brought these guys in. I thought they were good. I gave them this kind of contract. You have to drop ego, contract, any of that stuff at the door. And truly evaluate why it went awry.
206-421-3776. Open lines here for just another couple minutes. Isaiah in Yakima. Good morning, Isaiah.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So my question was, if somebody would have came to you guys before, you know, your training camp and said that Seattle would miss Fluker, Wagner for a game, KJ, Doug, you know, some other pieces, and they got a chance to go 2-2 in the first 4 games, would you guys have taken it?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not there yet, though, remember. They still got to get there.
I was kind of agreeing with you, Sock.
Yeah.
I think the NFC is definitely not as strong. I mean, those top-tier teams have shown they have holes. Like Atlanta and New Orleans, yeah, their offense is great, but their defense is garbage. Same with Kansas City and the AFC side. Green Bay is only going to go as long as Aaron Rodgers wants to carry on the Big Ben injury, bug. And then the Rams are good right now, but they've still got to play a tough schedule the rest of the way, and they're going to be down their two top corners. So, we'll see how it plays out, but I think there's holes in the NFC, and it's not going to be as dominant as everyone thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
Appreciate the phone call, Isaiah. It's always always good to hear from you. I'll try to grab one more real quick. Katie in Spokane. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm at work right now.
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, all right,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Shh. Don't let any of your coworkers hear you. Not let any coworkers hear you.
Okay, you there?
Oh, got you now.
No, we're here, Katie, but we got to go.
Okay, sorry.
We don't have a lot of time here. We're running out of time.
Okay, so.
Katie, go. Now.
I was just wondering what you guys think of the locker room atmosphere with Earl not practicing and the other guys getting reps in practice, but then when it comes game time, they're not getting a chance to play.
Yep.
So what do you think that is going to play out over the course of the season?
That is a wonderful question, and we will dig into this at 9 o'clock.
We will. And by the way, I don't think it's actually – I mean, look, the only person who would be taking those reps would be Tedrick Thompson, and he is getting a chance to play. They've used a lot of big nickel. They've thrown Tedrick in there quite a bit, so – I don't know. They're at least saying all the right things that it's not bothering them.
Yeah. And Dave Wyman, I heard him yesterday, says not a big deal. Nobody even pays attention. They may not even know some of the reps of that and that it's so segmented in that way. And I obviously kind of find myself on the other side of that. So, Katie, we will dig into that, some of that, back in the 9 o'clock.
And, Lydia, coming up next, just for you, we're going to talk golf. Maybe not for a full 10 minutes. But
That's so magnanimous of you. Just for me.
The Ryder Cup starts tomorrow.
I know. Number one golf fan.
I know that
show.
You've been unable to contain yourself.
Thank you.
All you've been doing is watching the golf throughout the morning. Who's going to
so
be
selfless.
Paired together? Will we actually see Jordan and Justin, Tiger? And everyone's favorite Patrick Reed. I know you're rooting for that, so it'll be part of Good News Bad News next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now here's Brock and Salk.
All right, 9 o'clock hour is going to be fun. We're doing a bunch of different things. Gambo's going to be with us at 9.
Shock jaw.
Is everybody ready for Gambo?
Shock jaw.
Don't ask us.
You know they play
are
a lot
ready?
Of. You, I think you
still.
Make, you know that you
we'll
make
try to deflect
a bunch of appearances on their show.
Still?
Do you realize? I think so.
Jeez, it's been
with
like
some
4 years.
Cat noises. You have to ask them.
Cat noises?
I don't know. They play a few of your drops on their show.
Really?
Is there anything about holding grudges?
Me? No. I got over all my grudges, remember, Howdy?
Oh, yeah, there was a clearing. There was a purge.
Yeah, I purged most, if not all, my grudges.
You really have. I'm proud of you with that.
I'm pretty much grudge-free now, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. What grudges do I have left? Like, almost all.
Yep.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, other than the ones that are sort of unpurgeable, like, I feel like I've purged most grudges.
I would rather say you built back bridges that have been napalmed, but either way, it's good news, bad news.
Well, I was just
going
with Howdy's description. Okay. Like, yeah, either way.
Seem to have a grudge against Howdy.
That's not a grudge. That's an outright hostility. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Earl Thomas sat out practice once again yesterday.
Oh, but this was his Wednesday normal day off.
No news.
Lies.
No news.
No, this is just his
Wednesday.
Nothing
to see here.
This is just his veteran day. This is just the veteran card. And people will say, well, why don't you just pay him? Well, because you had to manage and massage through an entire year last year of his body being banged up.
Pete's saying this yesterday.
This is the day that Earl always gets a break.
Right. He hasn't taken
this
a Wednesday off in 4 years.
Hey, Kyle, this
it's just
is
a
the day.
Blatant lie.
This Kyle, there's nothing
the
to see here.
That Earl's
no news.
Made.
No news.
No news.
No news.
No news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Felix Hernandez made his final start of the season.
Oh, are you sure you want to throw of the season in there? You just want to say his final start?
He finishes with 155 innings, a 5.5 ERA.
Yeah, it's really been an awful season for Felix Hernandez, and it's been three in a row now that he has trended in the wrong direction. It's hard to imagine he will be on this team next year.
How do you suspect this offseason will be most different for you than your past ones?
It's not going to be different.
Oh, good. Well, it'll be the same offseason. What a great way to turn things around, by doing the same thing you've always done. Look, I'm really proud of Felix for becoming an American citizen. I think that's an amazing accomplishment. Unfortunately, it's the only positive accomplishment he's had so far this year.
Moving into 37th on the all-time strikeouts list.
37 is one of those numbers.
It's all personal, though, right?
Once you get to 37, I know that's when you've really made it.
Past
Felix has had an incredible career, and he's been an unbelievable Mariner. And right now, none of those things are true about him.
Yeah, a year ago, it was calf, it was shoulder, it was those ailments. This year, it ended up being the back, and it was then the hamstring the last couple weeks. It's Father Time has caught up to that body, has caught up to that arm. It's hard to imagine him being a Mariner in 2019.
Good news, bad news, no news.
That's bad news, because he's not 42. He's not 52 like Bartolo Colon, or 62 like Jamie Moyer was in his final year.
Did you see the Bartolo Colon ad? Have you seen that?
No.
Where it's like, it's for
grilling.
Kingsford charcoal.
Right. He's talking all about his workout routine. It's like, dude, I work the shoulders. And he's
a young player asks him, like, Bartolo, how do you do it? How do you stay so in shape in the off season?
He squats a carcass of a pig.
It's really funny.
Kind of graphic.
The curls like, are like eating, eating a drumstick.
He took a fastball off his gut.
He says he works the shoulders, and they show a pork shoulder on the grill. That's awesome.
It's amazing. If you want a good piece of Mariners news, at least in my mind, Hisashi Wakuma threw out the first pitch last night Mariners game. Ichiro caught it.
That was pretty cool. On the look like a what did Ryan Roland Smith say? The giveaway was look like a seat night because there was a lot of them. Unfortunately, didn't get to really celebrate that, but it was cool. The Mariners obviously appreciate and understand what Ichiro has meant to them because he caught that final pitch there, the ceremonial pitch there by Iwakuma, the hug, the bow, all of it was awesome.
Yeah, I would tend to call this good news, except that if there was no one there to see it, did it really happen? Was it actually no news? You beat the judge.
All right, Richard.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Doug Baldwin says he's confident he'll play Sunday versus Arizona.
That is good news, and he did practice yesterday. He was listed as a limited participant, but Pete was, you know, pretty excited. He tempered it, and he's right in this, because it's not about a Wednesday practice. I could go out there, and actually I did a little training yesterday with a youngster, a young quarterback for an hour. I felt pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I felt pretty good.
Cheating on Haley's boyfriend?
I felt pretty good while doing it. Now, this morning, my back and everything else, what did you say?
I said, are you cheating on Haley's boyfriend?
No.
Isn't he your young adopted quarterback?
This was a seventh grader, Salk. I'm an equal opportunity teacher.
All right.
Watch your mouth.
Sorry.
But that's good news. Now we just have to see how the knee and the rest of the body responds to a practice.
People pay you for that?
That was an auction item. How about that?
Oh.
How about the goodness of my heart?
Wow. Yes. You donated it.
Yes, an hour of time.
That was nice of you. Really good news. It'd be good to get Doug Baldwin back. They need him. I sure hope Russell doesn't have a play where he doesn't throw Doug the ball when he's open.
Hey, by the way, this kid told me he's number 70th in the world.
In what?
In a video game. And I was like, really?
What game?
I don't know. He said it three times, and I couldn't understand it, but that's all right.
Overwatch.
No, but it's like rocket something. Rocket launcher, Rocket Lee, something.
Tell you what, if he works his way up, he could be the last Starfighter.
Great kid.
Kyle, you ever see The Last Starfighter?
Is it Rocket League?
There you go.
Mike, I'm just going to ignore your...
You've never seen The Last Starfighter? It's a great movie.
Another movie that I haven't
what
seen
year
because
was it
I've
made
never
in?
Heard
That's
of it.
That's got to be like 1984.
Oh, there it is.
I have seen The Rocketeer.
The Last Starfighter
Disney
is a...
Disney film. Great film.
The Last Starfighter is about awesome. A kid who's rated awesome. A video game, but it turns out the video game is actually a training ground to go up into like alien territory
so good.
And fight for the future of the human
like
race.
Ender's Game.
I don't know.
Like Fan Fiction Friday
I've never heard
tomorrow.
Of Ender's Game. What's that?
Never heard just, of like the modern version, like the one that's happening.
I only know The Last Starfighter. I don't know anything about anything other than that.
Oh, that's weird. I can't believe that.
You don't know what game he was playing? Really?
The Rocket League.
Let's go
Rocket
out
League,
there
I just
make a
it.
Difference.
Rocket League, it's a bunch of cars that play soccer.
There you go.
You are a scary creature. I am scared.
Any chance he was just playing Heroes of the Storm?
No? Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
How does it feel knowing how much your failure has cost the world?
I don't know.
Play that for Gambo next.
That sounds good.
The Cardinals.
Gambo's going to think we're doing a heck of a Shock Jock radio show. We'll talk some Cardinals with him next on Brock and Salk.